C1AN. Number 3B.
She says, a mental malpractitioner has never understood metaphysics and cannot demonstrate it. Without doubt, there are honest individuals practicing mesmerism, not knowing their method is unsafe. See, goes always back to that, what is safe, what is safe, what is sinless, and what is sinful. Then she makes also a reference which perhaps today we should consider more and more when we take students and teach students. She says, why we take so few students is because of the great danger there is in promiscuously teaching metaphysics or the power of mind to do good, lest it abuse that trust, forsake metaphysics, and this developed mental power becomes the stream of physics and the extracts and essence of evil. She saw that if she would teach metaphysics indiscriminately, that she may have among her students quite a few, a quite big proportion, who would abuse this teaching. And in the final edition, as Mrs. Eddy leaves it, she has various indications where she shows that we really should only teach those who have sound morals. And that when we teach metaphysics to people who are just clever and just wide awake mentally and intellectually, but not morally sound, that even the best teaching can be abused and misused, and that seems what is happening quite often. That sound morals are requisite, she says. And here she already points to that. See, in this third edition, all hinges around the moral, spiritual qualities against the abuse of mind power. All these experiences which she had with Kennedy and with the alleged murder by Dr. Eddy and so on, the whole sense of demonology, had also a silver lining for her, because she says that demonology really compelled her to seek protection in God's law, that it forced her to seek deeper and deeper in order to find the protection from this demonology. Says demonology, or the unlicensed cruelty of mortal mind, will compel mankind to learn metaphysics for a refuge and defense. Actually, demonology is not only used individually, but nationally. And I think what Mrs. Eddy has experienced in her lifetime as individual manifestation of malicious animal magnetism, of malicious influence, of secretly injecting malicious intents and so on in individuals, that is the thing which we witness today on a national-wide scale, only that we are not awake to it. And that this whole problem is perhaps today not so much anymore a battle between two individuals, but much more something that goes on an international scale. The crimes committed mentally are drifting the age towards self-defense. You see, she shows that everything has two sides, that it may be, at one side may be very bad, but that it has always an opposite side. Here, demonology drives us, compels us to find refuge in a higher understanding of God. The age must strive towards self-defense, for resorting to human laws is insufficient. More and more we'll find that. that resorting to human law is insufficient. Resorting to legal law usually is insufficient today. Resorting to medical laws is usually insufficient today. Resorting to psychiatric and psychological laws is usually insufficient today. More and more man is driven to find his self-protection and self-government in a better understanding of God. For instance, if a crime has been committed under the influence of mental malpractice, the innocent gets punished by the law. And so, because ignorance does not protect from the law, she shows that only God's law can punish the malpractitioner. That if the more, you see that politically, you know, on a national wide, that those nations that make war today are not those that really make war. Behind them are always the unknown and the unseen and the one that cannot be put before the international law. They always act through an innocent one in a big scale. And so it is with any form of animal magnetism. All sorts of argument always act through the name of a sickness. But the culprit is always animal magnetism. What is animal magnetism? Animal magnetism is not the reality, it's not the thing, not the person. It's a belief that there is something beside the unity of God and man, and that we don't stick to that unity. Well, that's the third edition, and you'll see at once that the subject she treats here is very different from what she has been dealing before. Then, only a year later, 1883, she has already the sixth edition, which from now on, I am not going to tell the edition, but the revision. This is the fourth big revision. And in this fourth big revision, which starts with the sixth edition in 1883, she doesn't change very much in that chapter demonology, except that she reduces that chapter of 46 pages to 12 pages. And she does that by cutting out everything personal in that chapter. She cuts out all her stories which she tells about Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, the church so-and-so, and this and that. All the personal element goes out. She leaves all those paragraphs out which were personal and left only the rest, the impersonal side of it. In a word, what she shows here is that demonology is not personal, that it is impersonal, that it is a false claim, a false system, and has nothing to do with Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so. Has nothing to do with the malpractitioner called Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so. And so we can see that a new step comes in, which has the tone of principle in that fourth revision, which makes animal magnetism impersonal. Then comes the year 1886, only 3 years later. In the meantime, she has 10 other editions, and now in 1886 comes the 16th edition, which I call the fifth main revision, the fifth revision, and has the tone of life, and views the whole subject of animal magnetism under the aspect of the fifth synonymous term, life. The book, the chapter, is for the first time called animal magnetism. She changed it from demonology to animal magnetism, to animal, because animal is a sign of animal life, of life in matter. of that false belief of animal life, and so calls it animal magnetism, and reduces that book to 13 pages. And in this edition, we already get the very similar text to the final text we have today. This edition is marked by the appearing of the first time of the chapter Apocalypse, the first time she has the chapter Apocalypse, in which she interprets the 12th chapter of Revelation, of which Mrs. Eddy herself says typifies the divine method of warfare. Get at once the touch of life, you see, the method of life. And it is that in that edition, for the first time, she has the chapter Wayside Hints. Wayside Hints contain that what today is in Apocalypse as the four sides of the city. Well, anyway, here in this edition, we get at once the completely new tone of life, not only through the new title Animal Magnetism, but through the scriptural note which introduces that chapter. The scriptural note at that time was from Apocalypse and read, "And the dragon was enraged at the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and maintain the testimony of Jesus." See, at once you get the divine method of warfare. At once she puts the whole question of animal magnetism under the heading of a warfare, not between Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so, but between the dragon and the woman, between animal magnetism and the spiritual idea. Between the animal magnetism that always wants to persecute the spiritual idea and wants to hinder the development of the spiritual idea. So right at the beginning of the scriptural note, which is very different from the one that is now in the textbook, we get that touch that really that whole subject which has been presenting itself as Kennedy and as malpractice and I don't know what, is nothing else than the warfare between the dragon and the woman. And the whole chapter is all on that point of taking first the dragon out of his lair. Yes, that's it. That the workings of evil have to be exposed, no matter how unpleasant the task. And then she says that to deny the existence of evil or to flee before it will involve you into hopeless error. She wouldn't say such a thing anymore in the last edition. But at the point of the fifth development, you see, she had to do that. She had to say, all right, now we must see what the dragon is, and we have to take him out of his den, out of his secret. We must uncover it. How unpleasant the task may be, we have to do it. And we can't deny that evil exists at that point. See? At that point of development, which isn't the final edition, at that point of the development, sometimes we would be wrong to say evil doesn't exist if we don't know why. If we don't know why. But the why it doesn't exist comes only in the sixth revision. So at this point it is safer to see that there is evil and that we have to face an evil and that we have jolly well to discover what this evil is and what it tries to accomplish and to face it and to take up that struggle with the dragon. She said at that stage, the maximum of good is today met by the maximum of evil. In the last edition, she wouldn't say that anymore, that the maximum of good is met by the maximum of evil. Then she goes on and shows at this time she still conveys a sense of struggle with the serpent. She says that offense must come. You see, all, you remember when we went through Atonement and Eucharist, always in the fifth tone we had persecution. And we saw that persecution must come because the understanding of life always is persecuted by the false concept of life in matter. So offense must come. She speaks here a lot about persecution by the dragon, and that the warfare of animal nature, the beast, and that in the warfare of animal nature, the beast wounded turns on its assailant, and that the serpent bites the heel of the one that is courageous enough to bruise its head. You get the very clear sense, you see here, that the struggle, that fight that goes on is really not between a mesmerist and a metaphysician, as in the second edition, but here it is now between the spiritual idea and the serpent, the belief of life, substance, and intelligence in matter. It is here where she for the first time says something which she afterwards drops again, but which is very indicative for this fifth development. She says, the Apostle Paul refers to the personality of evil as the god of this world. This is still in our text, as the god of this world, and further defines it as dishonesty and craftiness. And now the new thing comes, handling the word of God deceitfully. Now I can't figure out anything more clear and definite how she brings in now the sense of life and the false sense of life. The word of life and to use it deceitfully. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's the fifth statement of the commandment. And here in the fifth revision it comes again and says, animal magnetism, she begins to see, is to take the word of God deceitfully. Well, animal magnetism today on this point of science is really not, is the unwillingness to go the order of the world. That's quite clear. And at that period of the fifth, it is to take the word of God deceitfully. And when we come to the final edition, where the divine order comes down from heaven, animal magnetism is that which does not want to accept the divine order of the world as mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love and things one can do it without. That reality is something which doesn't work according to the word of God. It isn't. I mean, only if we remember, say, what Gordon Brown has shown in his book on Genesis to Revelation, and lately in his book on the civilization story and so on, all we know about the 1,000-year periods, the 7 days, about anything, we just, I mean, there is no doubt about it, that there is divine order in reality, which is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and which sets its signet on every development which is true. On every development which is true. And just as we see it now in this edition of Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy didn't know that she was going the Word of God in the Word order. She only went every time a step further, which was forcing itself on her, and afterwards we see it as the word order. It is an impersonal divine spirit, that word order. And to take that word order and put it aside and say it's all nonsense and all what we need is just one God and one God and one and one and one, until in this one you have everything, evil and good, physics and metaphysics, and mesmerism and Christian science and everything is all one. becomes all one muddle. Here she shows that animal magnetism is that which strives against the spiritual idea. And the spiritual idea is represented as an unfoldment and order unfoldment as the Word of God. Well, it is at this period when she published this fifth revision in 1886, where the period of struggle in Mrs. Eddy's life began. That chapter only reflects what she went through in her whole life, and the period of 1886 to around about 1891, those 5 years were her great period of struggle, where the dragon was constantly on her heel to devour the birth of the spiritual idea. And so she opened in the Christian Science Journal a department on animal magnetism during those 5 years. So that practically every issue of the Christian Science Journal treated in one or more article on the subject of animal magnetism. She wanted to have, as she showed, error must be exposed, she said in that fifth edition, you see. The workings of evil have to be exposed. And so she felt that through the journal she would be able to do that. So in that period of struggle between the dragon and the woman, we have quite a few articles of eminent importance that appeared, for instance, in the May Journal, 1887, appeared that article, Ways That Are Vain, which are reprinted in Miscellany, the whole article, and that article is nothing else but a wonderful ordered description of how the dragon works, of how malicious animal magnetism builds itself up. I will take that afterwards. And then, 2 years later, she had herself another article in it called Malicious Animal Magnetism, and in that article she asked every reader to send in observation on animal magnetism and to make contribution on animal magnetism. Until finally in August 1890, at the end of that struggle, she turned from the negative to the positive in the fifth day. She turned from that uncovering of evil to love. I will show you that, to love with a small n. But first, I want to have a word on her article on ways that are vain, which appeared in the journal and, as I said now, in Miss Saleni. And I want you to read this article at home to remind you, because Mr. Dole always laid great stress on that article. He also dealt with it when he was taking Ezekiel at the beginning of the book of Ezekiel in his verbatim reports. And in class he did take, at my time, this article. And when I was reading it the other day, quite apart from the fact that it is practically the only published article in Mrs. Eddy's prose work that deals so frankly and openly with malicious animal magnetism, apart from that, when I was asking, well, what is she talking about, by the way, all over those three pages, I couldn't help seeing that she builds up animal magnetism in its sevenfold way. She begins first by showing that animal magnetism builds always on the ignorance that denies the existence of evil in general, that animal magnetism builds on apathy, on an unanalytical mind. That's the first tone she has. You see, quite corroborative to the first edition. That it says, well, how can animal magnetism work? Well, it can only work if we close our eyes. On an apathetical mind, it can work wonderfully. To that mind which always says, peace, peace, where there is no peace, there it can work wonderfully. Then she goes on to a second subject of spirit, where she shows that animal magnetism tries to develop in us the opposite of our natural qualities, of our natural good inclination. That animal magnetism really tries to divert the individual from the straight line of spirit. She says, animal magnetism in its ascending step of evil entices the victim to reverse the modes of good and tempts it into the committal of acts foreign to the natural inclinations. The victim lends themselves a willing tool to carry out the design of the worst enemies, and so on. See, that's the second thing that animal magnetism does. Instead of developing the good and the good in us, it tries to reverse in us the good, the natural good we already have, the natural inclinations of good we already have, tries to reverse that and develop the opposite qualities in us, so that we do the things which we never would like to do, never dreamt to do. Then she goes on to the third and shows that animal magnetism wants to render us dormant, intoxicated, drunken, to put us into a state of haziness, of semi-individuality, so as to accomplish the sum total of sin. He speaks there over two paragraphs how animal magnetism just wants to get us mentally drunken and hazy. They become indefinite in our thought. Where we have no more the definite control of the divine mind in consciousness. Then he goes to a fourth subject and shows that animal magnetism works always dissension and can do that as long as the divine principle of Christian Science is not understood. See, therefore, that animal magnetism really always works on the basis that we only believe in good or in God. And that as long as we don't have one definite principle interpreted and expounded in its science, that we will never see eye to eye. That metaphysician will never see eye to eye. That students of Christian Science will never see eye to eye. There will always be dissension, quite naturally. Then she goes to a fifth subject and shows how animal magnetism will build up itself more and more, and shows that the mental malpractitioner tries to maintain himself by hindering in every way conceivable the success of others, by adding lie upon lie. That the mental practitioner, interfering with the rights of mind, loses his own power to heal. He tries to compensate himself for his own loss by hindering in every way conceivable the success of others. If ever I see somebody who tries to pull down the other fellow and tries to make one believe that the other one is not so successful as one thinks, it's usually animal magnetism.